Nursey.
Yes, nurse.
Now, Dr. Darcy, we've got a very sick plant here. What do you think we should do?
Let me get my gloves on for a thorough investigation.
The Gardening Gang with Pete Little and Geraldine Darcy. We're together every Saturday morning.
8 till 10, right here at Coast FM 963.
Hippity hop, here we are for the Easter weekend at Coast FM 963 with Geraldine Darcy and your old mate Pete Little here today. It is the Gardening Gang being sponsored by our very good friends Alan Graham's Caravans and Rabbits, RVs, and also Doormaster Security Doors and Windows. Now, the rabbit-eared Geraldine Darcy is sitting right in front of me here this morning, looking a very pretty sight, actually.
Oh.
You and your blonde hair and your pink ears.
You look like a big buck jackrabbit there with your pink ears.
I'm a big buck, for sure.
You're a big buck. That's what you're looking about. It is Easter. Happy Easter to all of our listeners. What a great day. And, Pete, I've got a surprise for you in our second hour today.
Is it an Easter egg?
No, better than that. The actual Easter bunny is arriving here live in the studio. I swear, he's come. I don't know if it's a he or a she. No, I think it's a he. He's on his way.
I want the bunny to sit on my lap. No bloke's going to do that.
I tell you what, Pete. The bunny is going to sit on your lap. And we're going to go live on Facebook. So if you're not following us on Facebook already, that's Coast FM 963 Gosford. Get in there, like us, follow us, and you'll be able to see the Easter bunny sit on Pete Little's lap. I promise you it is happening this morning. Other than that, lots of other things happening on the show today, Pete.
Yes, I think we've got a bit of a program orientated towards bringing kiddies into the garden.
Mm-hmm.
It is like a long weekend for the children, and very soon the school holidays are our way. And we've got a number of people that are going to discuss and also share some thoughts on introducing your children or your grandchildren to things in the kitchen and the garden.
That's right.
That's all part of today's show from Coast FM, along with a whole bunch of great classic hits like this one. Here's Coast FM, Pete Little and Geraldine Darcy. It is the infamous Gardening Gang this morning.
Infamous.
And we're kind of reflecting on the fact that the kids are hanging around this time of year. You know, it's a break from school.
Yeah, it is for a few days.
And the thought struck us that there may be somebody who does permaculture education with children. And Geraldine, we've found something.
One of a Gardening Gang regular, Anna Trigg, is with us. Hello, Anna.
Oh, good morning, Geraldine and Pete. Thanks for having me on.
Well, a lot of our listeners might know Anna from the Edible Garden Trail that's on. It's on every couple of years. Not on this year, Anna, though.
No, we're taking a little break this year so that we can bring the garden trail to you all in autumn instead of spring. So that'll be so
next
wonderful
year.
To see
that'll
it
be
a different
fun.
Season. Yeah.
So that's the reason.
2025.
I thought it might be because you're not going to be here at the time, Sarah, and therefore they needed to have some sort of goddess of the media.
Oh, that's it. I'm the proud patron of the Central Coast Edible Garden Trail. I absolutely love it.
We need you to be here.
That's it. But Anna, you, as well as looking after creating and running the Edible Garden Trail, you also teach children permaculture. And that was Pete's question. Like, how do you get kids into permaculture?
Yeah, that's what we're doing. It's so much fun. I'm working with my friend Hannah, and we have about 15 kids come over to my house, my garden, on a Wednesday afternoon, and we do all kinds of activities all throughout the term. And the kids just love it. They say, "Oh my god, it's the permy kids today, what are we doing today?" And they just really get into it. It's a lot of fun.
So what age group would that be, Anna?
So we've got kids from six and up. We used to say 6 to 12, but you know, the ones that grow out of it want to keep coming, so
really?
We're getting a bit looser on the age groups there.
Do you only find that when they get to about 17, they have different aspirations?
Well, they might become our teachers then too, hopefully.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Something for everybody.
So, Anna, what's the difference between teaching kids gardening and teaching kids, or being permy kids, teaching them permaculture?
Ah, right. So I suppose it's about we're bringing in the ethics of permaculture, which are earth care, people care, and fair share. So all of the activities that we do, we try to have no waste, and we teach kids about creating a circular system within the garden so that we're not bringing too many resources in and not sending any resources out to landfill or to waste streams.
All right. So it's not just gardening, it's actually the whole permaculture system.
Yeah, that's right.
The
most of the activities are based around garden, but we can bring in all of those ideas to those activities too.
Can you describe one of the activities that you do there?
Yeah, sure. So this week we made sauerkraut.
Oh.
So the kids learn how to, we're out in the garden, and if we have it growing in the garden, we'll harvest the cabbage from the garden. And then they learn how to safely chop it up and do all the pounding, and we do a bit of singing along. There's some great songs about, well, there's really a great one about kimchi by the Formula Vegetable group, and that is quite closely related.
And then sometimes you get to sing, I guess sometimes you get to sing Hot Potato, Hot Potato. Some of those great wiggle songs too with Bit.
They would fit really, really well. Oh, that's so cool.
So we try and just make it fun and exciting, and they want to do hands-on activities and simple things that, you know, we can spend an hour and a half doing this one thing, so they don't have to learn lots of different things to take home with them. They're just learning a one simple thing that they can take away and hold on to.
Mm.
And then during the holiday periods, do they do more practical things or go away on a permaculture camp or something? Or how does it sort of all come together? So it wouldn't be any kind of...
HSC in permaculture.
No, just in the holidays we take a break because Hannah and I both have kids as well, so we just have family time in the holidays, and all of our activities happen during term time.
You know, Anna, this is a lovely area for plenty of space, wide open spaces, fresh country air. So it's an ideal location to bring up your kids with that kind of permaculture understanding of the both preserving the planet and also your own sort of space as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that like sharing your sense of wonder and noticing the beauty that is around us is such a big part of what we do and what we encourage. And kids really engage with that. And, you know, we're all born with this innate love of nature and the world around us. And sometimes as you grow a bit older, you might forget about that a little bit. So it's a really nice way to
It gets a bit easy just to go to the freezer sometimes, doesn't it?
Doing your freezer today.
Hey, Anna, nice talking to you today.
Thanks,
nice catching
Anna.
Up. And we'll keep in touch on this one. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, brilliant. Go, kids, get out in the garden, have some fun.
Thanks. And we've been speaking with Anna Trigg there. She's from Permaculture Central Coast and also Permi Kids. And you're at home with the Gardening Gang with Pete and Cheryl on this morning during our Easter show.
Show bags, anyone? Show bags, show bags. Coast FM, Pete Little and Cheryl and Darcy with the Gardening Gang on this Easter Saturday. It's the long weekend, Sharon. We all know the kids are away or they're home.
Yes, underfoot.
We've sent ours away. They've gone.
Off with the bunny.
The grandkids anyway, you know.
Ah.
And I thought today we'd drag Chef Daniel in to the radio studio.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks for coming in, buddy. We saw you and we really enjoyed your segment last week. At the Alive Fest, it was very good.
Yeah, quite interesting to go down there and check it all out. And,
it was indeed.
You know, enjoy all the different foods and the smells and understanding what's going on. So,
and
yeah,
tastes.
Yeah.
Talking about tastes, what's the taste of Easter this year? Is there a theme? Is there an Easter kind of vibe that you can share with
chocolate.
Us today?
Just lots of chocolate.
That's the first time ever.
I'm just going to, like, stick with chocolate. Always chocolate.
Yes.
I'm actually going to create something this Easter where I'm going to get a big, gigantic chocolate egg, cut it in half, and I want to make a tiramisu inside the chocolate egg.
Oh, my gosh.
I think that sounds like a really good idea.
Stop it.
You have to have that as a dessert, though. You couldn't make that the main course and the entree.
Why not?
You'd be very, very...
But why not?
Pete?
I don't understand what you're saying here.
Nothing's impossible with the chef, let me tell you. Okay, seriously now, with the kids home over the Easter weekend, how do you involve the children in your preparations for Easter?
Well,
what are your thoughts there?
One of the things is that I really believe that kids should be more in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. You get kids more in the kitchen, they get more in tuned with what they're eating, they want to experience things, especially if you have a kid that goes, I don't want to eat that, you know, they're in the kitchen and they're making it once, twice, three times, four times. I guarantee you they're going to want to taste it eventually, right?
Okay.
They're going to actually, like if they're playing with it every time you're cooking or whatever it is, no, you don't have to eat it, don't worry. Like carrots, for example, but they're peeling the carrots, they're blanching the carrots, they're taking it out of the, like helping you take it out of the water. They're going to eventually want to try it. Right, it's natural human ability. Right. Okay, so
what things shouldn't we allow them to get into early in their palate development?
Nothing.
Go for it.
Get them to try everything. I think that was the secret back in the day. Like I don't know when I was growing up. You know, Dad and Mum and my grandparents especially, they would make me eat everything. Especially being in a Lebanese background, we had to eat like raw liver. Because we had to get raw liver in Lebanese bread and dip it into salt and mixed spices. And that's good for your health. It's going to give you bigger muscles. It's going to make you healthy, right? And, as much as you didn't want to eat it, you still ate it.
Because there was nothing else. That's what we used to have as well. I was brought up in a big family, a blended family. My stepfather was German. You just reminded me, Gehackter, which is raw mincemeat. It's like, what's the French call it?
The tartar.
Tartar. German, it's Gehackter. And it's the raw mincemeat and raw egg. But if you didn't eat that, there was nothing else. That was the other thing. It's like, that's my mother was like
not
that.
Today. There wouldn't be too many parents dare say that.
Too many options, I believe, on the dinner table. Many options. Just stop having options, going, this is what you're going to eat, and try it. And if you don't eat, you're going to starve. There's a wonderful show on Netflix called Somebody Feed Phil.
Phil
Rosenthal. And he's just released a cookbook saying, just try me.
Yep.
It's a kid's cookbook about getting kids to just try something. Just try it, right? And I think that's where the experience of having kids in the kitchen really, really lies into. Mm-hmm. You know, like you can do all the fun stuff if you really want to get your chocolate Easter bunnies. Mm-hmm. And then what you do with the chocolate Easter bunny, you make some pink white chocolate, you get some green white chocolate, you get some white chocolates. And you put a drop of the pink and the green.
Yep.
You put them into little piping bags and you color in your chocolate Easter egg, your chocolate Easter bunny, with the colouring inning of all the different chocolates.
I like
that. So the kids, it's really great for the kids.
Oh, they'll play with that.
You either pipe it on or you can get a paintbrush and, paint the actual, the ears white and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So you've kind of got a blank canvas and then that's a great kind of gift to give to a loved one that your kids has actually just painted their own chocolate bunny.
What do you think about reframing the names of things? Our daughter was really, really fussy and we used to call broccoli little trees and she'd eat them. Yeah. And we lived in the States and chicken wasn't such a big thing over there, but turkey was. And she'd say, I don't want to eat turkey because they'd have turkey with every, all different cuts. And we used to call it big chicken and she still calls turkey to this day at the age of 31, big chicken. And she would eat it. But if she sat there and someone said it was turkey, she'd throw it down. So do you think we should be lying to our children?
100%. Definitely. I still call broccoli little trees.
There you go.
Like, I can't. Broccolini is broccolini, but broccoli is little trees. This is a thing. This is an actual thing. But, like I said, get the kids involved more into the cooking process.
Okay.
And take the time out because I can guarantee you there is going to be nothing better for their health than actually experiencing and understanding fresh food cooked from scratch. And, everyone goes, the whole food movement and all this kind of stuff. No, it's just food. Just cook.
Just get in there.
Yeah, stop. And, one of the things that I heard a line the other day, which I found very fascinating, is stop following calories and start following chemicals. And I've gone, so look at the chemicals. And, one thing I love about this show is you were teaching everyone how to grow and getting the kids in the garden and, getting their hands dirty in soil and pulling out carrots and pulling out broccoli and all this kind of stuff. And I think that is a very true understanding on growth as a human is you've still got to learn how to forage and how to dig and dirt and grow. And because you know what? If all hell breaks loose and we're going to know how to grow our own thing.
Right.
We're going to know how to cook it.
The gardeners and the chefs will survive.
I love it. Yes, it's too easy now. Let's go to the freezer and get some food, you know.
That's right.
Good ideas there for the Easter weekend, Sherilyn, from the chef today.
As always.
The chef with the most. Chef Daniel, who joins us every week here at Coast FM. Thanks, champ.
Happy Easter, guys. Hope you eat lots of chocolate and heaps of tiramisu.
Oh, yes. I want that stuffed egg, I'm telling you. You're listening to Coast FM 963, your home with the Gardening Gang with Pete and Sherilyn. And
Happy
Chef
Easter.
Daniel.
Coast FM, Pete Little and Sherilyn Darcy today on the Gardening Gang. The Easter weekend brings joy to all, joy to the world.
It does.
And particularly when you talk to What's Hot Vicky.
Yes, she's full of joy.
Narara Valley Nursery. Good morning, joyful.
Woo-hoo!
What's Hot Vicky?
Good morning and happy Easter Saturday.
Well, here we are. Easter Saturday is with us once again. It only seems like a year we had the last one.
Well done, Pete.
Vicky, what have you found What have you found around the independent nurseries on the Central Coast for buying pleasure this weekend?
Exciting news coming out of Foresters Beach Garden Centre, and attention all Hoya lovers because they've got a wonderful mix of Hoyas in store, and there's lots of cult following of the Hoyas around here.
There is
Hoyas.
Hoya.
Then take your kids to Burbank at Erina Heights because they've got an Easter egg hunt on today. And if you can find the bunny, you will win a $20 gift voucher. Ooh. So that will keep the kids amused.
Mm-hmm.
Rare plant lovers, Mother Earth Nursery, have Brazilian Dutchman's pipe or giant pelican flowers. Do you know that one, Sherilyn?
I do. I'm very excited about that. I'd want to just go and look at them.
They look amazing. I want to go and have a look as well.
I'd like to
but
have
they
them.
Only advertised they had six, so you're going to have to be very quick for those ones.
Get on down there. Hop down there.
We just had a phone call and they've cleared them out.
They're gone. They have not cleared them out, Pete. That's not true. Just hop on down there.
Hop on down there and mention that What's Hot Vicky sent you.
Right, let's do it.
YE Nursery, they've got finger limes, which we all know are like the little citrus caviar that you can have with your margarita cocktail. And that's what's hot around the garden centres today. On this Easter Saturday.
Now, let's take our minds, south of the border. No, I meant to say on the banks of the Narara Creek there.
Right.
It's Narara Valley Nursery. How's it going?
Yeah.
No floods. There's no floods. I don't think it's been wet enough for flooding.
No flooding, not yet. Don't jinx us.
Well, it's not designed to be a flooded day today. It's Easter. Come on.
Very good, and lots of little happy bunnies are running around here too, and they are very, very happy bunnies because we've got lots and lots of happy plants to make everybody's Easter very happy.
Oh.
And I'm going to tell you, if you come in, you will not believe these happy plants are super dirt cheap. We only got 50 of them, and they're certainly going to brighten up your Easter and make you very, very happy.
I love happy plants.
Now, you missed out yesterday.
Well, you'll love these ones.
Now, you missed out on the shirt day yesterday, T-shirt day, because it was closed.
T-shirt. Oh, yes.
Maybe you're doing Easter hat for a bit of a discount today.
An Easter hat day.
Easter hat.
No, but I reckon
your Easter
if you
bonnet.
Come down and see Scott here in your Easter bunny ears or your Easter hat, I'm sure he'll throw you a discount.
Oh, just the ears. We don't need the leotard and the tail, please, girls. That's all. Scott
leotard
only wants the
ears.
Leotard
and tail for an extra 5%.
Oh, the penthouse bunny, you mean.
No.
Look at you, all right, wouldn't it?
Dear
Scotty, you'd like that.
Scotty, an extra 5%.
He'll
off.
Love it.
It's not worth
everyone
it.
Everyone get down here and harass Scott all day with your Easter bunny ears and your rabbit tail.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, there you go. Lots of fun and frivolity at Narara Valley Nursery today.
All right, it's time for Is It a Fact or Is It a Fib? And I'm taking you to the world of Easter plants. Now, I know you're both familiar with Easter lilies, but how about the Easter daisy? They're those beautiful white, very small daisies. And they're named after the Bishop of St. Days, D-A-Y-S. S, and he is a patron saint from Wales. Now, he established many churches.
I thought the only patron saint in Wales was St George. Maybe
no, there's lots of them. Oh,
he
no,
might
no,
be
no,
the patron
no,
a, saint of banks or something.
No, there's
like
lots of. No, he's one of the patron saints. Okay. He's not the patron saint of Wales. He's one of them. He's actually the patron saint of churches and travelling. He established many churches throughout Wales in the 6th century, and he travelled around when he did it. So he's the patron. He's a patron saint of Wales and also of travelling, and so that's why he's connected with Easter. The Easter daisy is named for, people think it's about other things, but the reason it's connected with the patron saint of Wales is because he established many of these churches around the Christian time
You've
of Easter.
You've told us that several times.
I have. Yeah. So is this a fact or is it a fib?
The Easter that's daisy. The question.
Is the Easter daisy named after this bishop, the Bishop of St. Days?
I don't think there's a name in all of Christendom called St. Days. It sounds like a silly name. I think you've trumped
it's
it
Welsh.
Up. Well,
it's Welsh.
St. Days.
You've got to think about the English
language. A-Y-E-S, Easter Daisy.
Days. Have you ever heard of that name? Has somebody ever walked into your Rara building and she says, oh, hi, my name is Happy Days.
They get a discount.
He gets a discount.
So I'm saying, yeah, I'm saying no, that can't be true.
Yeah, I reckon that name sounds like Hogwash, Sherilyn.
Oh, God, you got me. You got me.
Well, just logical.
It's St. David, and he was a renowned preacher founding lots of churches throughout Wales, Brittany and England, and he has nothing to do with the Easter daisy. Nobody knows why they're called the Easter daisy, probably because they come up in springtime, and that's Easter in the Northern Hemisphere.
I think a very poor effort today in that particular selection of true or false.
We're not marking me, thank you very much.
We succeeded in seeing through the very, very shallow competition.
You know
here
what it
today.
Is? It's because I'm waiting. I'm hanging out for my Easter eggs. I'm a little chocolate deprived. That's it.
Okay, well, so thank you for your time this morning. Always nice to talk
worries.
To you.
Very happy today that I won.
And very happy days to you as well.
All right, happy Easter
happy
to
Easter,
you.
Happy Easter, everybody.
Ciao.
You're listening to Coast FM 963. That's What's Hot, Vicky from Narara Valley Nursery.
We love
her. SA with Linda Ronstadt right here from Coast FM 963 with Pete and Sherilyn. This is the Garden Gang being sponsored every Saturday morning by Alan Graham's Caravans and RVs and also Doormaster Security Doors and Windows at Berkeley Vale. Sherilyn,
yes.
I've got somebody here with a bell in their hand.
Oh, hello. Happy
Could
Easter.
Could it be Steve? Oh, thank you, Steve.
Steve's got ears
He's fronted
on.
Up today.
Yes.
G'day, mate. Now, this means it's time to get your hands dirty.
It sure
dirty,
is time
filthy.
To get your hands dirty. And a lot of people get out there and do gardening on the weekend. But also there's things to do as well around our nurseries. And What's Hot gave us some good ideas. But I also want to let you know that Burbank House and Garden does have that Easter egg and bunny hunt on today all day. You can get in there, hop into Burbank on Easter Saturday to be part of the extraordinary events. Kids can join the hunt for Easter eggs hidden throughout the nursery and find the hidden Easter bunny to win $20. Just get on up there. Why are urban shade trees important? Well, the Australian Plant Society of Central Coast will answer that at their April meeting. It's on the 13th of April, so this is one for your diary. It's at Phillip House at Old Mount Penang Road at Carryong, 1:30 p.m. for a 2 p.m. start. Jennifer Wilder from GUST shares her experiences lobbying local, state and federal governments to increase our urban shading. The volunteers of GUST have planted over, get this Pete, 900 leafy shady trees across the Central Coast. Well done, team. And we used to say the GUST girls, but there's a lot of guys there as well. Jump on to austplants.com.au/Central Coast Events to find out more about that. Now, in your garden, you've got to get out there this weekend. Beautiful weather, lots of extra time for most of us. So this week, you could plant culinary herbs, beetroot, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbages, carrots, cauliflower, chicory, cress, endives, kohlrabis, parsnips, peas, radishes, shallots, silver beet, spinach, spring onions, swedes, turnips, and also lots and lots of flowers. We can still put all those bulbs in, but also delphiniums, dianthus, everlasting daisies. Oh, okay, Steve, I'm doing it. Forget-me-nots. And it's not too late to get those sweet peas in. You really got to get those in now. And I put mine in last week. I was a little bit late, but you can still get them in. And violas and Pete's favourite, the wallflowers.
Thank you very much, Stephen.
Thank you, Steve.
He's bringing in those bells of Easter.
And
what
you can,
a good chap.
And you can find out more. You pick up your Coast Community newspaper across the Central Coast or jump online to coastcommunitynews.com.au for my full garden report for the Central Coast.
Big surprise next hour of the show. Stay with us.
Huge one.
Classic hits at Coast FM 963. This is the Gardening Gang for Saturday morning, our long weekend Easter break, and that was Driving My Life Away from Eddie Rabbit. How about that? Talking about rabbits, guys, we have one, two, three, four, five, six, seven.
There's
in
a lot
the
of rabbits
here
in
this morning. They're multiplying
seven.
Like crazy. We've got Clara from Clara's Urban Mini Farm, who often talks to us about the permaculture side of gardening.
Mm-hmm.
Sherilyn Darcy, of course, oh, is a lover of anything that moves and is called an animal. is that right, Clara?
Yep.
She does love her plants.
Oh,
she does love her pets. What about you, Clara?
Look at that.
Are you a great pet lover?
What I have here, Pete, is some little Easter bunnies, and they are actually the perfect gardening companion. Do you know why?
Please tell.
Because
they
the garden fertilize. Vegetables go in and the compost comes out.
That's it. they perform the full ritual, don't they?
The perfect the little compost machines.
What happens? Yep.
Yep. And they don't make a lot of noise, so they're not going to upset your neighbours.
And pray tell, have you had these long in your urban mini farm, Clara? Would
I've
they
pretty
have been
much
a three
had
or four
rabbits
year investment?
Since I was a child. They are one of my favourite little childhood pets.
But not the same ones.
No.
Because you're no longer a child.
No, I'm a little
or
bit older.
Or no longer a teen.
Yeah, no.
Would you be an adolescent, you reckon, now?
Yeah, maybe. I'll grow up one day.
She's an expert. She's an expert rabbit person. So where did these rabbits come from, Clara?
Well, these came from the RSPCA, which is really the best place to get bunnies because they've got a huge range of bunnies up there. You can go out, you can hold them, you can decide which one has the right temperament for you. And they'll also de-sex the rabbits, which is really important with a rabbit
while
to get
away.
Them de-sexed. No, well, they will do it as soon as the rabbit's able. And, they'll be able to give you a hand. They'll give you some information on how to properly care for your rabbit. They're not a low-maintenance pet. Some people would say, you know, that you can just put them in a hutch and forget about them. That's not the case at all.
I would have thought that. I've had them and I thought they were a long time ago. I thought they were lower maintenance than dogs or cats.
You have to change out their litter trays every day because they do produce a huge amount of garden fertilizer or compost. So pretty much changing that out every single day. They need things to chew on so that you don't have to pay expensive dental fees at the vet.
Oh.
So you've got to give them lots of branches and sticks to chew on, and they want to have a little bit of a run around. They're also social animals, so you need to either get them a friend or spend a very large amount of time with them.
I see. I love this friend that's in there. The friend's a little scared, though, I can see that.
Yeah, so she's
here
a bit braver.
In the portable hutch. And I notice here, Clara, that you've got a restraint on them. Is that in case they want to attack me?
Well, they need to have a harness when they're in the car so that they don't, fly around.
I'm about 1 metre away from these rabbits. They won't jump the fence here.
So long as you behave yourself.
I'm scared.
Oh, does Pete? Do you want to have a cuddle, Pete?
No,
I don't think so. You don't like the bunnies.
I could have a pretend a virtual cuddle.
I promised you.
The radio listeners will think I'm actually cuddling.
We thought you wanted a bunny on your lap, Pete.
Yes,
that's what Sherilyn messaged me.
The significance of a bunny in this Easter. I know it's been hanging around. Chocolate Easter eggs became eggs, bunny. Where does eggs and bunnies form a kind of cohesive marketing message?
Well, Sherilyn's more of a historian than I am, but from my understanding, it has to do with the pagan ritual and the goddess Ostara.
It does, which happens at springtime. So it's all about renewal, rebirth, and it was to remind people that they needed to start planting seeds. So bunnies have to do with, just like you said, multiplication
and
all that.
Maybe to remind people to start procreating.
Exactly.
And the warriors.
And Easter in the Northern Hemisphere is at springtime, which is now. We're autumn here in the Southern Hemisphere, of course. And then later on, Christianity sort of tied in with their rebirth. Well, they did. I didn't want to be mean. Festival. But they did adopt it because the people were already celebrating at that time. So they were like, hey, this is good. We'll just latch in here with marketing and this looks really good. So that's where the bunnies come from.
And they're absolutely so well looked after there. And you just feed them your basic carrots, do you?
On the occasion of their meals? The majority of their diet should be something fibrous, so like a hay, like a lucerne hay or grass. Mm. That should be at least 80% of their
diet.
So
carrots aren't the most important things?
No, carrots are an occasional treat. And then I also give them a variety of different herbs and then branches to chew on. So apple, mulberry, they really like mulberry. So when I prune my mulberry, Panda Bunny gets all those little prunings. And that's something that she can use to help keep her teeth nice and healthy. And, so Panda's actually 8 years old this year.
Wow.
So she's an older girl. Yeah. And Mousy is five.
Middle-aged. So with middle-aged be five, senior citizen eight in bunny talk.
And they've never had any major health problems that we weren't able to get through. Mousy gets a sore tummy sometimes, but that's pretty much it. You've got to cut their claws and,
sharpen their teeth.
If you want to have an indoor pet, I did have a rabbit when I lived in an apartment and I used to take him out to go for walks just with a little harness and a lead. I'd take him out to an oval where there were too many dogs and he used to hop around that way.
You ought to see these harnesses. They are so cute.
Oh, they can see, Pete. If you jump onto our Facebook page, we're directly there. So we're on our Facebook page. That is Coast FM 963 Gosford. And you can see a live feed here right now with Clara and the bunnies. And you can also jump onto Clara's Urban Mini Farm on Instagram. If you're on Instagram, there's a live feed there.
Could I borrow these to a little wage to entertain my grandson this weekend?
Yes. So it's $2.50 an hour.
$2.50 or $2.50, and then after three hours that drops down to $100. Oh my goodness. Well, Clara, thank you for coming in today. It's always a joy to talk to you about flowers, about permaculture, and about rabbits. It is. Thanks, Happy Easter. Happy Easter. You better. Coast FM, Pete Little and Sherilyn Darcy here. In the Easter mood today, and Sherilyn's wearing her Easter bonnet.
I am.
In your Easter bonnet with all those flowers upon it.
Right.
Oh, Doreen's joined us too. Very flowery top today.
I know.
You're in a very Eastery mood,
yes,
Doreen.
Yes, I am. Lots of chocolate coming my way, so I'm excited.
Oh, what did you bring? Did you bring any
I like the lint bunnies. The lint bunnies are nice.
Oh, they're my favourite.
But other people keep stealing his ears and things when I leave him in the fridge.
Oh, that's no good.
There's this massive store at Erin Affair. It's probably got some stock left, but they've got, it must be 2 million Easter lint bunnies there, I reckon.
Never enough, right? Never enough.
More. Okay, now Doreen is looking after our community services and also the market report every Saturday morning here at Coast FM. So let's kick it off with our first market today.
Okay, here we are. Edelong Fresh Food Markets are being held today and every Saturday at the Broken Bay Scout Hall on Picnic Parade. It's on between 7 and 1. You'll find fresh fruit and veggies, eggs and deli items on sale. And Mangrove Mountain Markets are being held today between 9 and 3 on the corner of Georgetown's Drive and Bloodtree Road. They specialise in homemade preserves, cakes, crafts and plants. And the Long Jetty Markets are on today between 9 and 2 on the foreshore. Pop over to the markets for lunch and have a browse around their beautiful stalls. There's lots to see like fashion, homewares, jewellery, local produce and international street foods.
Will be immense, the Long Jetty.
It'll be fun.
Getting through the road there might be tricky. I go via the coast road, I think, if you had to get to the entrance because that's always such a popular market.
Are you going there today,
Sherilyn? That's one of your faves.
Am I going to do today? I might pop in there.
Now, tomorrow for the marketeers, what's
okay,
on,
for
Dora?
Tomorrow, Tookley Lions Club markets are on in the Coles Car Park, Tookley, between 8 and 1. Go along and browse through their stalls and grab a bargain or two. And the Gosford City Farmers Market is being held tomorrow at the Gosford Showground between 7 and 1. There's a large range of fresh produce, deli items and free-range eggs, just to mention a few. Woi Woi Lions Club are holding a car boot market tomorrow in Dunban Road Car Park, Woi Woi. It's on between 7 and 1 and you'll find a great variety of stalls along with a barbecue, tea and coffee. And for second-hand goods and specialty items, check out the Entrance Lions Club Charity Market being held tomorrow and every Sunday between 8:30 and 12:30 in the Denning Street car park.
Now, I was talking to a buddy of mine over the weekend, and he said that Woi Woi one, the Woi Woi Lions one, he found an absolute amazing bargain of electrical equipment he was chasing, and he paid, I think it was one of those older projectors, you know, the big projectors.
Oh, yes, yes.
And he paid like $15 for it.
Wow.
And when they were brand new, they were $12,000. And it worked perfectly.
Wow. Wow. So I think a lot of people have little hidden secrets in their garages,
well,
don't they?
If you know, if the partner says get rid of all this rubbish, you've got to, you know, you've got to get rid
of
it.
Are you speaking from experience?
Okay. Okay. That's a good market report for the Easter weekend.
Lots of things to do this Easter weekend. Thanks, Doreen.
Thank you.
Have a nice Easter, Doreen.
Thank you.
You're listening to Coast FM 963 and you're at home with the Gardening Gang.
Feel right at home with the Gardening Gang. Coast FM 963.
Petula Clark right here from Coast FM, home with the classic hits and My Love, with Pete and Sherilyn here on the radio. It is the Easter weekend for 2024. We all know that.
Yes.
And please drive carefully because that is always a big concern over this four-day break. It's people who are abusing the traffic. And hopefully our gardening gang are fully cognizant of looking out for their cars. Yeah. And other people's safety.
And don't forget it's double demerit points as well. There's something else.
Okay, now, Sherilyn, 27 minutes after 10 o'clock on the show today, we've had rabbits in here, we've had lots of talk about the markets around the coast, and we've still got a couple of butte segments coming up. We're going to talk about what not to feed cats.
Yes.
We've had the rabbits, we're going to the cats.
Let's do it.
Very soon.
At Kincumberman.
Coast FM 963, Pete Little and the Gardening Gang with Sherilyn Darcy. Can't forget Sherilyn, she's always by our side here. And she's got Tanya on the line today.
I have Tanya Middleton.
You're talking about your dogs.
Oh, yes.
Again today?
No, no.
Oh, okay.
Tanya Middleton, our pet vet nurse, is here on the line. Hello, Tanya.
Hello.
We're not talking dogs,
No, we're talking cats. We're talking just cats. That's it. I've got a letter here, Tanya, and Pete hasn't seen this yet. And it says, "Hi, Tanya. Absolutely love listening to you every single week. Thanks for all the really good tips."
Geez, someone's sucking up.
Her name's Lily.
Buy my book.
Yeah, buy your book. Oh, there you go. There's a plug. Kenny and the Sticky Trap. There you go. Lily might have this one. Oh, well, anyway. So Lily here is from Tumbiumbi and she said, "I've just rescued a cat, first cat I've ever had. I'm a little bit concerned about what my cat's allowed to eat, particularly things that might be toxic to my cat. I've heard about things that dogs can't eat and I know they cats have got to stay away from Lily's, my namesake. What else is it that I'm not allowed to feed my cat, Tanya?"
Chocolate's one, I think.
Do you think chocolate? I don't know. Her letter's a bit long. I've actually sort of just picked out a bit, but she did say that she had heard that they can't eat watermelon. Cats are not allowed to eat watermelon, which I'm thinking, why would you be feeding a cat a watermelon? But anyway, Tanya, over to you.
Might be a hot day.
It could be. What can't you give cats?
Look, rule of thumb, I tell people, and I say this a lot on this show, is animal food is for animals, people food is for people. And I know you guys probably get sick of hearing that, but if you stick to that, you are safe.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely right with the lilies. Lilies are toxic. Mm-hmm. Lilies will kill cats.
Mm.
And only cats.
Lilies.
But not dogs.
I don't think.
Well, do you know they don't often hurt dogs, but they actually can. And if you do any research, research will tell you that they are actually toxic to dogs, but just not, or they can be considered toxic to dogs, but just not, not many dogs get affected by them, but they can be.
No,
yeah,
I think probably dogs steer clear of lilies too.
Well, you know the problem with dogs is they chew things. Or cats chew things as well, but dogs, they love ripping things up and chewing them. So they have to chew quite a lot of the piece of lilies for it to affect them, but it can be toxic to them. That's true.
Well, the thought
true.
Struck me, can cats eat dog food?
Why would you want to feed your cat dog food, Pete?
What if you got one of each breed?
I would save money.
Just one big bag might go a long way.
Jeez.
The answer is no. I think dog food. I mean, a little bit here and there won't hurt them, but dog food lacks essential vitamins that cats need. So if you put a cat on dog food long term, they will get very, very sick. I've seen dogs present in hospital that have eaten only cat food their whole life, and they've ended up with bladder stones.
Oh.
So let's refresh. Humans eat human food. Dogs eat dog food. Cats eat cat food.
Oh, I'm just waiting for the next big invention here. I mean, the cat food, dog food industry is worth a fortune. If I can tap into it with a simple way of spreading the love, I can make a lot of money.
Every now and again, it's not gonna hurt. No, but now you know.
I've just got, somebody's just texted us on the Facebook, Pete and Tanya, and it said, I know you might be getting to this, Tanya, but it said, I know that you can't give watermelon to cats, Tanya, Sherilyn and Pete, because it's high in sugar and cats can become diabetic. And I'm like, hang on, Tanya's cat Levi is diabetic. Oh,
too much watermelon, huh?
Yeah.
So that's why they can't eat watermelon. Ah.
So it's not toxic in a sense, but no, it's not good for them.
Yeah.
It's just like anything else, like, you know, bread. Cats can eat bread. Mm. It's not toxic, but too many carbs are bad for a cat.
Can you put your cat onto a kind of a Ozempic for
cats? Cat Zempic.
Yeah, and, you know, it is the same for dogs. Like, one arrowroot biscuit for a dog is equivalent to a hamburger for a human. So
that's a telltale.
You've got to be very, very careful. Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you. That's Tanya Middleton there, our pet vet nurse, who joins us every Saturday to share all the tips, tricks and ideas and news as well to keep our pets happy and healthy. You're listening to Coast FM 963, Home with the Garden Again with Pete and Sherilyn.
Coast FM 963 with Pete Little and Sherilyn Darcy. It's our Easter Saturday gardening gang today, and Lachlan McDonald's joining us today, and he's actually mobile at the moment and heading off for the holidays perhaps. Lachlan, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Pete, how you going?
Lachlan McDonald from Ray White McDonald Partners. I'm really well. Now, mate, one of my friends said to me the other day, we've all heard about the best times to sell their property, that is, not their chattels. Now, is there a worse time? It's a funny one. Is there a worse time of the year that you wouldn't, unless you're desperate, go to list your house? Easter, for example?
No, I wouldn't say Easter's a bad time. Pete, I'll go a little bit outside the box for you here about the time of year that's the worst. What I would say is that it varies every year as the market cycles. And what I mean is, usually the worst time to sell is about 3 or 4 months after it's looking like a really good time to sell. Because
you missed the peak.
Generally, Pete, that's what happens, is that a lot of the time we as agents, we've sort of got our finger on the pulse about what's happening, and we can see these sort of trends within the year, and there's certain, you know, fluctuations in demand, and we can tell when it's looking like it's going to be low supply and high demand. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, what happens is a lot of the time when there's a seller that wants to sell, by the time they actually get everything ready to do it, they kind of missed the boat by 3 months, and everyone else, as thinking the same thing, all sort of comes on at the same time. So it ends up swinging back to there being about the right number of properties for the number of buyers. So I guess the advice I can give is, if it's looking like a really good time to sell, just do it. You know, move heaven and earth to make it happen. You know, it's such an important asset, and it's such a big thing that you only do a couple of times. There is no more important thing for you to focus on than to try to get the most for it.
Well, you know, next week they're going to make a decision about whether or not they're going to move the interest rates. I mean, the vibe is it won't change. That would be a good sign, would it not, for real estate sellers?
Obviously, everybody's looking for that first rate decrease as sort of, you know, a signal to come back into the market. But I think that a lot of buyers are already well and truly back in the market in a big way, just simply by virtue of the fact that it's remained steady. So as long as it keeps remaining steady or comes in a slightly downward direction, I think the market's going to continue to be pretty healthy.
Well, I'll pass those wise words on to my friend and we'll see if he or she, could be a she, make the right decision.
Yeah.
Lachlan, thanks for your time this morning. Have a lovely Easter weekend and we'll catch you next week on The Gardening Gang here at Coast FM.
Beauty. Thanks, Pete.
Coast FM 963 with Pete and Sherilyn here every Saturday morning from 8 till 10. Classic hits at Coast FM. All that she wants is another rabbit, maybe. Another Easter egg, perhaps.
Yeah.
Yes, Coast FM 963 with the classic hits. And this has been The Gardening Gang for our Easter weekend, brought to you with the very best wishes of our sponsor, Alan Graham's Caravans and RVs, and Doormaster Security Doors and Windows, wishing you a very happy and safe Easter break. Next week on Coast FM's Gardening Gang, we are off in another world.
Yes, we are in a small world, Pete. We are off to broadcast live from the Australian Bonsai Open. Yay! It is on next weekend, Saturday the 6th and Sunday the 7th of April. We'll be there on the Saturday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. to kick it off, to launch it. Very exciting event on the Central Coast. And it's at Mingara, at Tumbiumbi, at the Mingara Recreational Centre. It is Australia's largest show of bonsais. And they are actually competing it, you know, but I'm going with this. Are they sort of like karate chopping it out? I don't know. There is actually a show on, an exhibition. There's a competition on, and there are bonsai artists from all over Australia, including our friend Hugh Grant.
Well, Hugh's going to be there too, from not from the movie that we all know and love, a different Hugh Grant to that. Mm-hmm. But Hugh and his boys, or his mates and his associates. It's interesting, you know, when you see people who work in bonsai, they're generally men in their kind of middle years, like, you know, 35 to 50.
Yeah.
Very artistic people.
It is, but there were women that are getting into it as well.
No, they're all boys. I noticed that. It was specifically blokes in
bonsai.
They were
all not there last year. Look, it is a ticketed event. The tickets are only $7.
But there was one girl. She was a very sharp girl too.
Well, she was.
Met her last year. We'll talk to these bonsai people too next week on the show from Mingara.